James Hamilton for MMA UK, joined again by Chris the Bad Guy Bungard. So we've got Chris back on to chat ahead of his upcoming fight on the 23rd of November against Mario Rudeboy Saeed, and that's back down in Bellator London. So making a return to London, when did you find out it was going to be London you were going back down to?
I kind of had an idea for a while through obviously Jude, the matchmaker. But they said that Mario was the one they were thinking about. And the last time they've said that, the last twice has been my last two opponents. So we started kind of switching on for there, but it wasn't signed for ages. So I kind of started my fight camp like as if I did have an opponent when really the first couple of weeks I didn't have an opponent, but I was just treated like a fight camp, so I could start like my diet early and my training, obviously.
So you kind of, for your experiences in the last fight, you kind of knew that was how it was going to end up.
Aye, but realistically, like I've only found out, was it like 7 or 6 weeks out for the event who I'm fighting, which isn't the best preparation. But I started training like 8 or 9 weeks. I can't remember what one it was, and obviously started dieting for that day. What I done was I found out when the Wembley card was being 23rd of November. I think I seen Alan Chalmers tweet it or something. So I was like, right, well, I'm going to set a fight camp for that event because I
Aye.
thought that's what I was going to do. And then obviously turned out to be true. So hopefully we go down and make some better memories than the last time. But I'm looking forward to this. Like I'm going to hurt this guy. I'm going to knock him out. And I can see it being an early nightmare.
There's definitely a bit of a difference already in the approach. Obviously, back in June you fought Charlie Leary. A fight obviously you knew was going to be difficult going in. But there was a lot of respect there. Wasn't really any animosity, which is
Aye, I'm not fighting a guy like again, I don't think. No, never. Never, but aye, there was definitely respect there, not mean I cut weight in the same sauna as him and stuff like that, which was really weird. Also he seen me, what condition I was in, like I did get dragged in and out of a sauna and he's sitting there, this is the guy I'm fighting. Not a good look. So aye, so basically I hate this cunt, and I'm going to smash fuck at him. I hate his fans already. There's just a lot of I'm still 6 weeks out. He's been messaging me all day every day. I don't think you guys wired right. But sometimes you need to watch what you're saying because a lot of these people are just looking for a reason to get offended these days. Not just him, but just people that if I tweet, all of a sudden I'm a racist or I'm a homophobe and stuff like that. So it's a thin line with all these snowflakes out there these days. So I'm kind of putting on a leash a wee bit with Bellator. Sometimes I need to delete a tweet or two, you know what I mean?
It's a bit of a controlled aggression then in the build up.
Aye, because you've got all these goat fuckers. His fans just fucking, oh, this guy's Kurdish, this guy's Kurdish. I mean, what the fuck does that mean? That doesn't mean nothing to me, you know what I mean? That means he's got to win, and like, and it's all these. I'm surprised they've all got Instagram anyway. Because they've known any other social media. They know
Aye.
my Facebook, they know my Twitter. He's no Twitter fans or that. And then he's got like fucking 10 million on Instagram that want me to die, so I hope they all kill him. I hope they all save up all their pocket money and they all show up to the venue. And I hope they try and do something. I know. I hope they try and get involved some way because I heard they're a bit rowdy and there are quite a lot of them. I hope when I beat them, they try and come into the cage and then the order they come in, the order they'll fall.
So
Sorry, I mean these blueberries, but they're
that's
fucking
alright.
so good.
Is that then see all that sort of stuff? Is it because obviously I've known you over the years? It seems like that stuff is fuel for you.
Aye. I'm
Does
all
that
about
motivate
that life. Like, I grew up with that, so like we've got to scrap, but I'm going to knock him out. Like he just fought a guy there that only fought in 9 years and he struggled with him. Like I fought 33 fights in the last 9 years, so I'm not going to be this fat couch potato who he last fought there and gassed and just laying tappy for 3 rounds. Like I'm going to hurt him, I'm going to knock him out with knees, elbows, and I'm going to take him down, I'm going to put him against the cage, I'm going to try and submit him. So well, he's no fought 155 for a number of years as well. And last time he fought, he got knocked out for guard. No, I mean, he's chinny as fuck, so he sends all these messages a day, man, like, blow me kisses and all this, and like, show me videos of him hitting pads. I'm like, he's no hands, he doesn't throw hands, he's not a striker, he runs away and dives on the legs, he just panics. So, and he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, aye, but I mean, I've beat black belts in jiu-jitsu, knocked them out, submitted them. Jiu-jitsu, black belts, judo black belts, commonwealth guys, world champions. I've smashed them on the first round, so this guy's not got to be any different. As long my nutrition is good enough, and my weight's right down, I've got a new diet, thanks to, I'm working with Dean Kirk, nutrition. I feel good enough. I'll have my good days and bad days. Mm-hmm. Like the day I was sore, didn't feel too good. Yesterday I smashed it, I had great sparring. The day before, you're up, you're done. But you sold your own sometimes. You just show up. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But right now I'm in a good place. Like, I know the day I didn't feel too good before sparring, but before wrestling, but I still showed up, put the rounds in, and then we go again tomorrow. Mentally, I'm in a good place. My weight's good. And I think that was a major key factor in my last fight.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I would have definitely beat Charlie, because Charlie's a great fighter, but I know I would have had more energy, I would have been stronger, and that's just the science behind it, as simple as that.
It's one thing, and we'll talk about Dean Kirk at the moment. If I'm no mistaken, Dean Kirk say he works with Cal Eleanor as
yep.
well, because I know he came in and kind of saved Cal Eleanor at Bellator Newcastle. But in your going back to the Charlie fight, when you went in there, how did you feel going in? Because you did look. You could see you didn't seem to have the same energy as you have in past fights. Could you feel that walking into the cage where normally you'd get a lift?
Well, I couldn't warm up at all. Like, there was just nothing in me. Like, mm-hmm. it was weird. I was lethargic. I sometimes get lethargic before mm-hmm. fights. I need to get a wee second wind, kind of, and just feel dead lazy. But that happens all the time. But I just kept saying to myself, like, the crowd will get me up. I'll get a buzz when I go out there. I'll walk out. But even when I was moving about the cage before that, I was like, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. But then when I clinched with him, I felt weak as shit. Like, cause one time he just turned me, and I just thought, and I was a minute in, and I was like, I was tired, and I'm like, throw hands up, sun's 100% up, cause I'm fit enough to go three rounds, no a minute, you know what I mean? So it was definitely a factor. It's the toughest fight to take in the chin, but it was the easiest one to accept because I knew where I went wrong and how easy it is to fix that problem, because it's done to me.
Yeah.
It's done to me. What am I eating? I can cut weight for fun, obviously. I know how to cut all the weight, but there's a difference between cutting too much and cutting it correctly and stuff like that. So this is why I brought Dean in. Like, I can cut weight. He doesn't need help with that. But it was to tailor my weight and the build up to my fight. Like, I came in too heavy. I came in at 81 fight week. If you're fighting, that's 11 kilo drop in a couple of days. So, and don't get me wrong, I've come in, like, Brazier one, it was 78 or whatever, and that's perfect, you know what I mean? I can do it, but I just don't want to make that mistake again, because, like, you just need to look back at that fight, and I've never watched it again, but I just need to look back at it and say, well, if you don't, like, fix this problem, then this is what can happen. And it's as simple as that.
You think as well, especially when you're fighting at the level you're at Bellator, mm-hmm. these margins, it's that small on there that if you don't come in as good as you can be, then potentially you're looking at losing in there.
Yeah, and it was like a battle, it's only make weight, and mm-hmm. we were buzzing after it. We're like, yes, this is that felt like a victory, because with so much to cut, and I'd give up, I was like, right, I'm missing weight, and I've never done that, but that's how bad I was. Mm-hmm. And we're like, go back to the hotel, just one last push, and we end up making it, and you could see in my face, it was like, I couldn't believe I'd made it, but then it cost me cutting that much, just took my fight away from me. So, as I say, we can live and learn. I put Dean in, we're looking good now. Now, if I show up and I miss weight, or if I cut a lot of weight again, then who's to blame? It's me.
So you know where you went wrong, you've made the right steps to correct it. And the other thing as well is, this is now going to be your third fight in a promotion, so
in 8 months.
Yeah, and you've
active.
You've come in at the obviously massive opening fight with Terry Brazier, but But your opponent, this is his...
Who's still
his...
shite, by the way. Like, even his last fight, I don't know why they've pushed him for Soren Back, gave him a main card fight. Soren Back will beat him as well, but against Boy, he was terrible. I don't know, maybe I've got the old fucking Bungard tinted glasses on and don't like him, but like, I wasn't impressed. He made so much sloppy mistakes for the bottom. He was striking with sloppy. Boy had just cut down for the first time, really, for welterweight, and it was late notice as well, blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of tired out and go to Americana, but I wasn't impressed at all with that fight either. And I think Back, he's taken Back easily, which is his first mistake. And that's what his mistake was against me. So we'll see how that goes.
So still a bit of bite there.
Aye, I wouldn't mind fighting him in Scotland, but we'll get on to that.
So it's potential. There's been a lot of stuff happening with you as well, no, just outside your fight career, obviously. The documentary, we've been waiting for ages for it. Finally dropped.
I think I'm the most favourite fan of the Scottish MMA there now. Like, a lot of people don't see, like, documentaries and radios and, like, national TV in Scotland. Like, a lot of the fighters in, like, UFC are on, like, BT Sports and stuff like that, so it's harder to watch. So me, I'm there on national TV, so a lot of people have got eyes on me and know who I'm at, really. So it's quite good. I enjoy it. The documentary was fun making it. It was a bit short, but I got major feedback off it. It's opened up other doors to other things, and it's a good feeling.
Because you've sort of went on for that, and I know you've done a lot of coaching with kids and football and that, but then seen recently you've been in schools doing talk. What was that like, getting into your school doing talk? Was it surreal thinking you were in there to speak to the kids?
I don't know if I would do that again. I can do interviews, I can do podcasts, I can talk for like MMA based and that, but public speaking in front of kids, when I stay around the corner for this school, I'm like, I still feel I'm an abdy. I know people some people can look up to you and so on, but I still don't see that. But just looking out to them, like 6 years or 5 years, they're not like, when I was going into school, all the younger ones, first, second, third years, were all running, like queuing up to me, and like, they're all just wee young boys and lasses buzzing to see me. I'm like, hey, I want to talk to these people, like, they're loving me, but 5 and 6 years, a bit more mature, I probably don't even like fighting, just sitting. They were zoned in on what I was saying, but I was getting to the point I couldn't chain, but I was wanting to move on to a different subject, and I felt like I was fucking about with the same subject, and then I was trying to go into like mental health, because it was mental health week, and I'm just like, what am I going to say to these kids? Like, I mean, their careers are in front of them, their lives are in front of them, what am I going to say to them? So it was a bit different for me, but like, they asked me to do it, I'd done it, and they looked like they were zoned in and enjoyed it. I don't know, fuck knows, man. Like, it's still a bit weird to know, like, schools want me to talk.
Do you think if somebody came into the school when a young Chris Bungard was here, would you have sat there and listened and took it on, do you think?
No, because that's what I said to him. I'd better back, try to chat up the lassies or try to be a class clown like I was, know what I mean? But I was just trying to say to him, like, don't worry if you don't know what you want to do in life yet, because you maybe have a couple of jobs before and you find out what you're really good at, which are like me. Like, I worked steelworks, blah, 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 that shit. But then I became a fighter. So I was just kind of doing that, and then, like, the whole mental health thing, if your friends, one of your pals are going a bit quiet in the group chat, just check in on your friends, make sure everybody's all right, all people were sitting in their cell in school, shit like that, you know what I mean? Just, obviously, through my work through Chrissy's house, suicide awareness, all that, I was just filling their fucking heat up with all that shite, and I was just like, where do I look, man? I was doing all this shit with my horns, I was like Ricky Bobby, and I was just like, get me out of here. But they loved it, and like, they got me a wee gift and all that and stuff like that. So I don't know if I would do it again. I would always like to go back to my school, to our high school, and do something. But I'd say maybe next year with mental health week, maybe I'll go and take a wee class, a wee martial arts class or something, instead of talking to them, not mean, but fuck knows, man. It's just, that's my day, I done it.
Do you think that's more interactive for the kids as well? So you get in there in the martial arts and you can pass on some of your experience and that. Do you think that would be more sort of than your street?
Aye, because I was trying to tell them, like, the big bad world out there, you know what I mean? They don't know what's out there, and I think martial arts will help you with anything you do in life, anything. Because obviously, fitness and any sort of sport or activity is good, healthy for you, you know what I mean? So if I could help maybe next year with something like that. I think they would more enjoy it instead of me up there just talking absolute fucking garbage to them about their fucking future. When, man, I stay in the corner, what the fuck do I know, what I mean? It could be lawyers, doctors, and I'm like, I punch people for the entertainment of a drunken crowd, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know, man.
When you boil it down to that, I suppose
it's... Knees! Knee over the head, punch his cunt in, that's the shouts I listen to when I'm fighting, you know what I mean, though? Like, whatever they want to do with
them. But I guess it's one of the good things that's coming for the BBC doing documentaries and that, is raising your profile and obviously the work you do with Chrissy's House and that. So it's these opportunities you're getting that, I guess, are things you probably didn't imagine 5-6 years ago you were going to get. You were going to be on the BBC in a docu, or maybe you did, I don't know.
No, I didn't. No, never. The day after it, I remember I was crossing the road at my papa's, my papa said cross the road the future, and the part of my motor was crossing there, walking there. And a wee woman in a red motor just stopped me and just put her window down. She was about fucking 80. Mm-hmm. She says, "Oh, what you said to you last night, son? It was brilliant." And I was just like, fucking hell. She was at least 80 years old. She stayed up and watched that or whatever, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, cheers. And she wished me well in my career or whatever. But like, she probably knows what MMA is now and all. And it was just, there was a weird wee moment. But I went in my papa's with a smile on my face, like, ah, well.
It's one thing, but like any, I hope I've got for MMA up this neck of the woods, that people, broadcasters like the BBC and that are getting involved, that it's definitely something that would really help the sport. And obviously you must notice yourself, your profile increasing just for being on, especially specifically the BBC.
Aye.
Do you think you'll do more things with them in the future?
There's talk. Apparently I'm dead markable and I'm likeable. They obviously don't really know me, but... Aye, man, I just want to enjoy my life and just do stuff that makes me happy. And obviously I love building my profile up. I'm doing a wee bit of pro wrestling now, that's to build my profile. Obviously I've always been a wrestling fan, but there's just different wee side projects I like doing. You never know, man, like BBC is massive in Scotland, in the UK. So it can lead to anything, really.
And the wrestling part seems to be one where that seems to be kicking in now. Obviously, Mr. Velasquez has jumped over to WWE to take on his old foe, who I have Tyson Fury in there. So is that something you're hoping to, I know obviously it would be ICW you would be aiming at, are you hoping to at some point get in the cage, and would the Bellator think about that?
Well, Bellator don't know about it, but
well,
I think next year you'll probably see me make my pro wrestling debut next year. I don't know where or when, but like, I'm enjoying my training now. It's really hard because I do it my rest day, and it's like 3-hour sessions, and they're tough, man. Like that last Thursday was like one of the toughest sessions I've ever had. I was training with Jackie Polo and Jack Jester and the team and that, and it was just drilling, and it was tough, man. Like, it was tough, and then the next day you've got sparring, and so it's, I do need to stop juggling them all, but I like keeping busy, because if I'm not busy, I feel like I'm not doing enough. But sometimes you're doing too much in your body. But
And I take it at this point, Brian knows about the...
Like, nobody will tell me what to do, you know what I mean? If somebody says, like, don't do that, then that's the first mistake they're going to say, because they're telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. But as long as I show up for my classes, my training, 2-3 times a day, then like, Brian can't really say him, because he knows I'm still putting work in, he can see it, but... He will say, would you want to be a pro wrestler or an MMA fighter? I said, well, I'd be both. And a part-time football player on a Sunday.
So you're keeping yourself open, your avenues open. Keeping your options open.
Man, I met Bret Hart last week. It's just like, I've loved, like, if I didn't watch Bret Hart when I was younger, I wouldn't have started martial arts. And that's the way it is. So I've always loved wrestling. And I don't think I would hate if I went my full life without having one wrestling match, you know what I mean? So... And I'm doing no bad. I have like a wee in-house wrestling matches with the team and that, and like I'm putting up pretty good.
Was it a suplex I seen the other day, or were you the one getting?
Aye, so that was just a drill where basically you need to pick your opponent up in a suplex, but keep him there, then bring him back down for 5, then he does 5 on you.
So is that about control?
Aye, strength. Like both of you are kind of using each other, like to stay straight, and that's quite a hard one. That, but you'll see me. I still need to smash this cunt first, and then we'll see, man. But definitely see me next year, I think, and in the wrestling.
And just with going to Bellator, the promotion itself, like you said, you've been really active there, and this is going to be your third fight in, what was that, 8 months?
8 or 9 months.
February, June, then obviously now November. How much of a difference has that made to your life as well, getting in with a promotion like Bellator and getting to fight on there? Has that made a difference as a fighter? Just in terms of financial and all that thing, is it?
Obviously the money's good, but it's like getting else, isn't it? Like, you still need to pay your bills, you still need to got a house, flat, your holidays, you know what I mean? I just travelled America a shitload of times, man, so, but spend all my money, just stay hungry, you know what I mean? So for the next one, gives you that hunger again, but, you know me, I like staying active. Before assignment, I'm like, there was a wee window where, well, when I signed him, there was a window before I fought that I didn't fight for a while, and then now I've got 3 fights coming up, and I've got 1 more left in my contract. So, I mean, another win here, that's all matters, and now is winning again and putting on a good performance, because I do think I've got a good fan base. And there's people out there that love watching my fight, so.
And there's a lot of good fights out there for you. Obviously, I know Peter Queeley's been still sort of angling at you. Is there any development on that, or are you just kind of leaving that one alone for now?
The more it goes on, man, because it's getting ridiculous now. It's probably going to happen. Probably happen next year. Obviously, I'm focused on Mario, just like he was focusing on Ryan. I think the guys fighting his end demons in his head, that it feels like he needs to build a fight that's like there's nothing there to build, so he's trying to build a fake rivalry or nothing. So I don't know what's going on in his head. But if I get by Mario, you never know, maybe next year. I think there's a show in Dublin in February. I don't know if they'll want me a quick turn. I don't know, we'll see, man, but he's annoyed me that much. I think it's probably going to happen now. So he's got what he's wanted, you know what I mean? Fuck it. We'll see. I'll fight Mario first. So focus on this clown first, then deal with another clown.
And regardless of your opponent, in terms of places you want to fight, obviously, second time in London, you've fought in Newcastle now. It's not the first time you've fought down there. Scotland is, I'm assuming, going to be that. That's the main aim, I would imagine. That's the one you're what I push for.
Well, you've seen the reaction on Twitter, you know what I mean? That was unbelievable. The assistant, Robert Whiteford, me and Rob fought in the same shows in ACB Glasgow, ACB Manchester, Vision back in the day, so I know Robert well through the other scenes, so, I mean, let's bring it to Scotland, me and Rob on it. Like, I'd love that. I'd fight anybody on that card. They know that, so, and they've got a good thing going with Dublin. I get that. Like, fill out all the SBG guys, get all their fans, sell out the arena. Money all day, but Scotland can do that, I know. Scotland can 100% do that, I know. And they've no seen the atmosphere that we can bring. Like, go to a Celtic game, go to a Rangers game, go to a Scotland international game. UFC Scotland's, like, the atmosphere is brilliant. We know, we're all dafties, but we can create, we can sing, we can create an atmosphere. But, and I just want them to just gamble on it, just gamble on bringing it to the Hydro, and then just reap the awards that have got to come in, and just sit back and like, fuck, you was right, man, I wish we'd done it sooner. Because they fucked about the Obama days and the Cage Warriors still not being up. And they're missing out, man, because we've got killers, and we've got an atmosphere, and we'll put on good fights, and...
You've certainly got some young killers in the hit squad at the moment. You were recently, was it down south he's went? Was Jordan was fighting, Michael Blair was fighting. Who else was fighting down there?
Ryan Campbell.
Aye, Ryan
and young Max, who's 15. Exactly, killers, they were beating me up the other night, you know what I mean? So, like, they're training like professionals. They're also all fighting the day after me, so... I'll fight in London, then I'll fly for London to Newcastle on a Sunday to help corner them. They're all fighting in Sunderland again. I think there's 6 or 7 of them on there.
Is that Made for the Cage?
No, Rise and Conquer. Rise. So you've got a lot of them in there. So I'm going to fly and support them there. So I'll probably be drunk, but no, I'm looking forward to it. I just enjoy my teammates doing well because I see the work they put in. I see how they help me. And I just like being there for them. I like supporting my team. I like them doing well. I just like, I like seeing anybody doing well. See anybody I see putting in the work. Like, I get a buzz off it, like, even if I don't know them. I drive by somebody running up the street. I want to put my window down and kind of encourage them. Like, let's go, man, let's go.
You're like Scottish David Goggins.
I just love people putting the work in, and I like seeing them reaping the benefits and getting rewarded. So, I think is that weird? No, I don't know.
I think it's good that.
But I also like seeing cunts that I hate fail miserably a day. And if you've ever fucked me or fucked any of my teammates or been a cunt in the past, you'll get no sympathy for me. Like, aye. I'll probably laugh at you when you're done. Maybe spitting you, pissing you or something. So,
oh well then.
They've got the angel here that's nice, and you've got the other guy on his other shoulder. So
you've got the bad guy, the one we hear about me. The good guy is there. He's
the documentary, how it was like the bad guy, and it was just like, great, this is all the good shit of this. Aye. You know, we'll need to make an uncensored one.
Aye.
See, like the day with Hollyoaks, it's like the day, like a late night one. It's like shagging and all that, pushing it. Like, you should follow me about a fight camp, and then we'll see what goes down. Maybe go to like fucking Ibiza or like Amsterdam or something.
just make it for over 18s.
I think we could do that, man. I don't know.
I remember when
like the documentary was coming out, and it was like all the BBC people were on my Instagram, and I was like putting up fucking, I think it was like pictures with Ron Jeremy in Hollywood. With Ron Jeremy in like t-shirts with fucking, what do you call him? Who was the killer?
Charlie Manson.
So I put a t-shirt with Charlie Manson on it, and then it was like the Ron Jeremy hang in Hollywood. And the BBC would email me like, you need to stop putting up with this profanity and stuff like this. Like, a couple of days before the documentary was it. And I was like, nah, go fuck yourself. Like, you don't tell me what to put on my page, like, just because you're doing a fucking documentary about me. So I was like, pull the plug on it if you want, man, but that's staying up. I think I said something about fucking the best fucking tag team since the Heart Foundation. It was like me and Ron Jeremy or something like that. And I was like, what was it he called his Willie again? The piece that I don't know. Fuck knows. Pipe dreams. I was like, hashtag pipe dreams, and they're like Parvani or whatever. I don't know. But it was funny.
So it stayed in the documentary, went out anyway.
Aye. Pretty much, man. So it's funny that BBC are trying to tell me what I can post on my own Instagram. You know what I mean? So
BBC's got a bit of ropey history.
Aye. So let's get a late night one, and then you don't need to fucking worry about that. You know what I mean?
And so we'll just end on this, obviously. Final thoughts on opponent Mario Shahid?
Did you ever see his fight where he faked a KO?
I've not seen that one, no.
Are you sitting in the fence in this?
Genuinely not seen
it. Do you need to see this because you're at the manager? Right, so he fights Ali Irish in Cage Wars, right? Ali Irish upkicks him illegally.
Right.
He turns around and says, ref, and then does... then fake goes out cold, right? So he wins with disqualification. Even the commentator says he's just faked a KO, right? It's embarrassing. So then this guy's messaging me saying, do you honestly think you're tougher than me? I think you're tougher than me. Because I would never do that. I would never fake a KO. I've not got that in me. Like, you're fighting on, or you're not being a pussy. So how do I feel about this guy? I feel he's a bitch. He's a pussy. He fakes getting KO'd, man. It's the worst of the worst for being a fighter. His kid's on his black belt, not whatever, but he's no hands. He thinks he's got to beat me up for 3 rounds. He's chinny as fuck. So I think it's got to be a first round knockout for me. Plus, I really don't like him, so it's easier to train for. I hope he brings his Kurdish family with him. Kurdish army. Sorry, no family. This is how you get lost in translation here. And I hope they all buy a ticket to see him get his ass whipped, because he's talking a lot. He's messaging a lot, and he's making me pictures up of dressing me up as a woman and all. I don't know if you've seen this today.
I did see that.
It's just like, so he's talking a lot for a guy that's realistically beaten Ebdy and been knocked out quite a few times. His last six fights have been at catch weight, at welterweight and stuff like that. He's a midget, I know. So he's, I know he's just got to dive on my legs, and his grappling's not too bad, but he gasses within 3 minutes, so let's see if I'm still there in the 3 minutes and I'm putting the pressure on him. I'm going to knee him right in the dish. And first round, I see myself knocking him out clean.
So it'll be safe to say then the bad guy's definitely back for this one.
Aye, fucking
so
right.
You can look forward to a good bit of back and forth online.
Super necessary. Hashtag super necessary, man. I just can't wait to knock him out and give him an extra few wee biscuits like fucking old Masvidal says. Hope the ref trips up so it doesn't take me longer to beat the shit out of him, man.
And just last thing, obviously mentioned Dean Kirk coming on board. Who else is still supporting you if you want to give him a quick shout out before we wrap?
Who's still supporting me? I don't know, man. I lost a lot of sponsors for some dodgy tweets. Prepped and fresh. Still make my meals for me and stuff like that. Bad Guy Brand. Jesus, I'm going to forget them all. I'm trying to visualise my cage banner these days. Omar's Premier. These guys are also got Anubis Security. Jay's been there for the start. Helped me with fucking all sorts financially. Gave me a job. All sorts. Owe him a lot. Yeah, we've got clothing brands, but can't remember who.
We can always put it up.
Aye, you know, yeah, I love you all, but I just all the guys for that squad. I mean, all the amateurs are in, help me day in, day out. Brian, obviously my coach, Paul Craig, like these guys sacrifice their lives a wee bit to help me as well. Aye. So it's something I like giving back. My fans as well. I'll give the performance that he deserved for my last fight, I promise you this. That's about it.
Right, so Chris is fighting, if you didn't know, the 23rd of November again against Mario Saheed, and that's in Bellator London, back down there. And like you say, this time to give the fans a performance.
I'll use it.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Chris, thank as you, always. Man. Cheers, mate.